T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Grabbed by Pierce. He does it himself, and the Red Sox win it. They sweep the Rays.
Suck on it.
Woohoo. 4-3, the final in 11 innings.
Apparently, we're hot.
Suck it.
Boston Celtics will defeat the Indiana Pacers 4-0.
Yay, Celtics.
I'm just happy that a lot of guys on this team got to experience what a sweep feels like.
We're getting to Kyrie Irving.
That's why the Celtics are wearing all black. This is a true funeral game.
A man closeout game.
Ordinary Hayward.
I mean, I really wanted to win, and juices were flowing for sure.
Duck boats.
Closeout game.
But did he win the Tommy Award?
Final score in the game. The Boston Bruins 4, the Toronto Maple Leafs 2, and it will take 7.
The only thing that matters is game 7.
It's not the NBA. It's the NHL.
Everybody always says there's nothing better in sports than a game 7, and that's certainly true.
Anything can happen in a 7-game series.
Tell me something I don't know.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, what a glorious day. I mean, what a glorious day. You know, the other unbelievable weekend. Everybody's excited about the Celtics right now. They're going all the way. There's no question about it. They brought the brooms out. And then the Red Sox brought the brooms out. We all thought they were dead. Lou, dead. D-E-D, dead.
Big weekend.
They're alive and well. And then the Bruins take you now to game 7. They could have been eliminated.
Did dramatic. Right? Yeah. There's right. A lot of drama with
wow.
them.
Unbelievable. Look at this. Everybody's excited.
Feeling good, right?
Yeah, the next 4 hours, we'll bring it down a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, we'll probably
a little bit.
Knock,
we'll talk
you
out.
Down a couple
I'm not
notches.
Impressed by the Celtics.
Nah.
I do think the Bruins are winning. The Red Sox, they're trending.
Woo, Red Sox! I hate to say it, but the big fella, who's on vacation for one more day, I believe he'll be back tomorrow, did predict a Celtics sweep. He was right about that one.
He was.
He was wrong about the Bruins, though. You and I think, both had Toronto... Boston winning in 7.
Bruins in 7. He had Toronto in 6.
He had Toronto in 6.
He gets back, though, in time for a game 7.
Nothing
playoff.
Like it. There's nothing like it.
So you'll be,
I hope he realizes
he'll be back in time to be able to settle in, you know, tomorrow night.
Oh, please.
Gets back today at some point, probably later on today, and he'll be all right to settle in and watch Big Night.
Please, we'll have to give him
Big
highlights.
Big Night, I'll be excited.
Woo,
we'll
give, Red Sox. Give him highlights.
I'm really excited, too, because I get the opportunity to be in the booth with Joe and Mario Tuesday, while the Bruins are playing.
Oh, are you in there Tuesday?
Yeah, I wish I could change that night.
So that means it'll be a long night for you, because you're going to have to DVR or and
early,
watch the Bruins.
Early morning, either one. But no. I wish I could change that night.
Something
out.
Smells funny.
I don't want to miss that game.
Yeah, it may be a long
it
night.
It is what it is.
It's a game 7. Hey, there's nothing better than a game 7. So it was. If you look at it, why is it that I haven't changed my mind one iota about the Bruins and about the Maple Leafs? They are fairly equally matched, and yet every game seems to be whoever needs to win it the most ends up pulling that game out.
Well, it's every other night. Win, loss, win, loss, win.
Exactly.
I mean, these two, you talk about hockey, they're both 1-2 at home.
Right.
Right? So, okay, great. Is it an advantage to be home or not?
I don't know. That's the NHL. We'll give you some of those numbers. They're scary, by the way, what's happening to the NHL, and I don't think it's a good thing, but we'll get to it later. But you're right, Lou. It's every other night. So what do we expect? You would think normally, you look at Game 7, we know the history of the Maple Leafs.
The Maple Leafs, especially.
They suck in Game 7, okay? It's a Toronto thing, by the way, but it's especially bad
against the Bruins.
For the Maple Leafs against the Bruins,
yeah.
Right? So, and we know the history of it. They can be up 4-1 in the third period. Don't shut that TV 13th. Off, right?
Yep.
Don't shut it off, because anything can happen. And that's got to be, you know, eating them up right now. It's going to put a lot of pressure on them for Game 7, but I still can't sit here and tell you that I feel great about the Bruins in Game 7.
And I know, Krejci didn't skate today. They said it's a maintenance day. I don't buy any of that stuff. Like, so my concern that Krejci's not 100%, yes. Are others maybe not 100%? Sure. You know, DeBrusque finally looked like he kind of settled in a game, which was great to see, which is probably one of the good things that came out of that game. Torrey Krug was another one.
How about that line, the Krejci and DeBrusque and Pastrnak?
But I don't know. You take just a maintenance day now. A lot of guys are banged up, and there's not maintenance days. We'll see. He'll be fine. He'll play.
He hit a lot more than he normally does. He was out there pushing the body around. I just don't feel great about it. And it's the way they're playing right now. And I said, you know, whoever needs it the most, well, we're finally at a point where they both need it equally.
Yeah.
Because this is do or die, you know? And yet, I don't feel great about it.
Well, Toronto fans, I don't think have any faith at all, right? You listen to sports radio or read up there in Toronto, because I did. Toronto Sun, I believe. Checking it out. Yeah, it was not quite the Sacramento Bee.
Really?
They're playing
Ottawa.
A series, so sometimes you keep an eye when it's like a series like this.
Everything I've read the Sacramento Bee. And
you just randomly follow the Sacramento Bee over the winter or the summer, whatever the hell that was.
I was just following them because there was news about the Kings.
They're concerned.
All.
They're worried about it,
should be.
But
a bad history.
I'm with you.
Including last year.
The Bruins, they had an opportunity to nail this thing down in Game 6, and the Bruins dominated that game, especially after that, you know, the first goal, and then they just... It was 2-1. It could have been 4-1. It could have been 5-1. Freddie Anderson was that good. But then, they dominated that game. So now I don't know who comes out here in Game 7. I'd love to sit there and say they're the better team. I think they're equally matched. It seems like, you know, you look at certain games and whoever wins that game, they play the game they want. You know, they're disciplined enough to play the game the style that they want to play, and the other team doesn't. They let them play that type of game. So to me, you come in here and it's home ice. I don't know. I didn't like what happened in Game 5. But they came out flat. It was one of the worst games they played. You know, and people were critical of Cassidy not moving game that one. Bergeron line around. So at home, I don't know. I didn't like game one it either.
Yeah.
So it was an advantage being in the Garden game 7?
No, I don't think so.
It's always good to be home.
Well, you can say that, and yet you can look around to the National Hockey League. Home ice advantage means virtually nothing. Maybe because of the glass, you can't hear much of the fans. Maybe the other goaltender can stand on his head, but we haven't even seen that. I mean, these goaltenders have been good, both of them not great.
That's probably the biggest surprise, is that we're in a Game 7, and I don't think the goaltenders have really been part of the discussion here.
They haven't.
And Freddie Anderson's been pretty good.
Yep.
Tuca's been pretty good.
Yep.
Let me go back to that one Austin Matthews goal a few games ago, but up to this point, I wouldn't sit there. If you're sitting there waiting to call up and blame Tuca or blame Freddie Anderson for any of these games, I think you're missing a point.
No, Tuca made some great saves.
So maybe that's the case in Game 7. Maybe one of these guys
steps up.
One of these guys goes crazy, the other one craps himself. I don't know.
Stand on their heads, a hockey
But
term,
up to
you know.
Game 7, we're going into Game 7, I don't think you'd have that discussion yet.
No, I thought Tuca was pretty good in the third period, and third period is when Toronto put an awful lot of pressure. They were in the zone, virtually the offensive zone, virtually the entire period. But you can't tell me that he really was breaking a sweat during most of that game, because the defense was doing all the work. They were clearly not allowing them easy entrances into the zone, right? They were all over them, body to body.
How do you feel about Tuca's Game 7 history?
Not good.
I just saw this Boston Sports Info.
He's 2-2.
Yeah, career in Game 7s. Tuca's 2-2. 15 goals on 97 shots. He's got a save percentage of .845.
Yeah, Tuca good. Or Puka?
Not good. Goals against .372.
No, I don't feel good about it. I don't feel great about this game tomorrow night. I picked them in 7. So I'll stay with it because I have no other choice. But I'm not going to tell you that I sit here and feel really good that they're going to go out and win that game tomorrow night. I don't. I don't based on it. So now you've got the Celtics, and based on the TV ratings, woo, Celtics did great Friday and even better on Sunday. They were doing 9s in the game on Sunday. 9s. My guess is that we have a lot of people that have jumped on the bandwagon. We have Celtic fans out there and non-Celtic fans who are suddenly looking at it going, sweep? When you sweep a team, it means you're really good, right? And I'm not sure I'm buying the Celtics game. I think they did what they had to do against the Pacers. I'll give them all the credit in the world. But you can't tell me that they just blew the doors off the Pacers. Matter of fact, Pacers were in every one of these games in the last 5 minutes. And the difference was you had closers. You had Kyrie for the first 3 games. You had Gordon Hayward, who was your closer in Game 4. They were able to close the game out. And the Pacers can't do that. They're incapable of doing that. But the Pacers, even for all the easy shots they missed, I was amazed that they were able to stay in the games against
the Celtics. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I nailed it. I knew they were going to win this division. I mean, this series. I nailed it.
You had it in 7.
But I had them winning, though, right?
In 7.
Well,
I
whatever.
Had them winning in 5.
I mean, what's the difference?
That's so, 2 games.
Just a few.
It's a math problem.
Listen, my opinion has not changed one bit of this team. And I know that you can sit there, and because they swept them, and like you said, it was a tight game. Every single one was tight. except for maybe that first one, I guess you can look at it. But wasn't the first one was end up being a 10-point game, and they kind of gave it back?
Yeah, but it was still tight.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what it means. But still, the other ones actually were, I think, were tight. They trailed in game two. They had, you know, good games on the road.
I think they leads in every game. Pacers did.
But they're just better. Like
minutes.
You said, they're just better they're all better around. Yeah. I mean, they're just better. They didn't have Oladipo, who was one of the best clutch shooters in the game. He was the best clutch shooter in the game. So you don't have that guy. So late in the game, you don't have anybody to really go to. They're a better team. And I'm with you. I can't sit here and jump on that bandwagon and say, because they swept them, this is the switch. You know, and I know it's easy to do because they just swept the Pacers. The Pacers aren't a good team. To say, well, the regular season doesn't matter. This team's coming together now. I didn't care what happened in this series. There was nothing positive that could have come out of this series. Even a four-game sweep, I don't feel like they flipped it. The only thing that could have come out of it was negative. If it did go six, if it did go seven, they dropped a couple games. We don't know anything until Saturday night. And I'm guessing it's going to be Saturday if the Bucks can take care of business tonight. Or Sunday, whenever game one is. We don't know anything until they play the Milwaukee Bucks. That's when you're going to have to prove it. And it'd be great if the Bucks dropped the game. Maybe, I don't know, let them play another bit during the week.
I'm not sure that's happening. I think they wrap it up here tonight. And by the way, they've virtually blown out the Pistons. But you had no Blake Griffin in the first two games. They were playing in Milwaukee. Griffin was back. He scored a lot of points. But he seemed to be really working hard to get anything in game three. So, but I would say this, that the optimism comes on two areas. One, I think people think they're playing much better defense right now. Celtics, right? I think they are. But
we're also admitting that Indiana's an awful offensive
team. So we still don't know. We still don't know defensively if what they're doing right now, if they can stop a high-powered offense like the Milwaukee Bucks, all right, or Toronto Raptors. We don't know that yet, Lou. And you're right. That we're going to find out when they finally go to Milwaukee on Saturday or Sunday. And the other one is that Gordon Hayward had a terrific game yesterday, all right? But, you know, he had 6 points in the game before that.
Well, that's the other one.
It's still one of those where it's not like Gordon Hayward has taken over his place, which should be the second-best scorer, second-best player on this team. He still hasn't done that. You still need, you know, Jaylen Brown to come up big. You still need Tatum to come up big because you can't sit there and just depend that every game you're going to get 20 points out of Gordon Hayward.
But Gordon Hayward is the what have you seen lately, right? I mean, that's the reaction. Because as you pointed out, you know, you look at, you know, game one, he was 4-for-12, 10 points. Then he put up 13. You know, then you mentioned he scored 6 in game three,
Gordon
2-for-7.
Hayward.
So all of a sudden last night he has a very good game.
Because he shot
And maybe
well.
That's a positive too, right? Kyrie and Al didn't do much, and you got efforts from other people, and that's a plus. You got other guys scoring. But if we did this every single time Gordon had one good game out of four, right? How many times have we said it looks like Gordon Hayward is back this
year? We've done it a lot.
So, you know, it was great to see, but does that mean he's going to just be this guy now for the rest of the postseason, or is he going to be the guy who was in the first three games? He's the guy that we saw all year. He'll have one of these games. If they play a seven-game series or a six- or seven-game series against the Bucks, in a couple of them, he'll look like that guy. And then the other three or four, he'll look like the other guy, right? I mean, but people have declared him back, and he is the reason.
Right.
Now, I've always felt that he is the difference maker on this team. So if he can be like he was there in game four, then maybe it's a different story with this team. He's the difference maker for the Boston Celtics, in my mind, of how you think about them.
So listen, I agree that just looking at this first series, even though I have very little respect for the Pacers without Victor Oladipo.
Very little.
Very little. They wouldn't have made the playoffs with the present roster they have. So this is a non-playoff team that they're playing. But even saying that, if you look back at last year with no Kyrie, no Gordon Hayward, I'm not sure you would have swept this team. I'm not sure you would have won those two games out in Indiana. The difference is you've got a closer. You've got a Kyrie Irving now. So you go on the road, and you've got a chance to win on the road because he goes above all of that. He does not allow his game to drop just because he's playing in a foreign building. Now, having said all of that, you are going up against a Milwaukee Buck team that is not the same team. If you've been watching them, this is not the same team that you played and beat in a seven-game series a year ago. Mm-hmm. First of all, Giannis is on a different level. I agree with Rich Keefe. I think he's been the best player in the league this year. His game is opening up. He can do so much more than he could do last year. He really has improved dramatically. They've got outside shooting. They're going to get healthier if they get Brogdon back, which apparently they're going to get back this week. They are a much better team than the team you faced a year ago. So this is a whole new test.
Yes.
So we feel good. They swept. They did what they were supposed to do.
Been waiting for this Milwaukee series for the past 3 months.
Exactly.
Right?
Right. So let's see what they can do against it. I still don't feel great. Do I think the series will be fairly long? Yes. I think Boston will take care of business at home. I think it'll be a fairly long series, but I don't like them. I don't like them because I still think Milwaukee is a better team right now, and you didn't win enough games during the regular season to occupy that home court advantage. All right, we're going to get to the phone calls coming up next. The Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, all on the table right now because all good things this weekend out of all three of them. 617-779-7937. To the phone calls on OMF coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Give us a sense of what you're thinking about as your team prepares to go on to the next round.
We're going to prepare like we prepared last year, try to make it tough for them guys, try to load up on Giannis. He's a great player. They have a great team over there. They got a lot of great things going on. So, you know, we're just going to make it tough. We're trying to beat a harder playing team. And, you know, we're looking forward to that matchup. We're looking to bring some excitement to this game and, you know, some trash talking, a little fun.
Yeah, we could use some more trash talking. Portland and Oklahoma City. Trash. That's good trash talking. That's been good. Need more trash talking. That is
Terry realizes when he's like the starting point guard, he can trash talk, but when he's like, you know, the eighth man.
Do it from the bench when you're out of the game.
Yeah, maybe not now. Smart out, but still.
All right, 617-779-7937. Bruins, Celtics, and the Red Sox on board right now. Let's go to Alex. Alex is in Scituate. Hey, Alex.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the existing situation, what's going on, kind of like on a macro sense and then on a micro sense. Right now, the Bruins are one of the three best teams in the entire Eastern Conference.
You're the best team
and
left.
The two teams that they compete with is Tampa Bay and the Lightning, and right now this series is proving to be evenly matched. The difference is that the Lightning and Toronto are very young and promising for the near future. The Bruins, on the other hand, are much older, and I feel like with the Lightning out, this is their time to act. And if they lose this game seven, that would be 3 out of 4 games that they lose at home in this series.
And that is a normal thing in the National Hockey League right now.
Right now it is.
3 out of 4 games, Glenn, is not normal.
Yeah.
At home, I'm sorry. And I don't care what sport you're in.
It's normal.
3 out of 4 at home is not normal.
No, it is very normal with the National Hockey League. And you just talked about it with Tampa Bay. And I think Tampa Bay has more veteran players than you're talking about. Toronto, maybe you could make that argument with. And one of the young players, Matthews, has taken his game to the next level in the last two or three games. But, no, that is the norm in the NHL. Home ice advantage means nothing. Matter of fact, look at the first round of the playoffs. Virtually every series is an upset.
You sound like you're very emotional about this right now. And
am I emotional? I'm just telling you the facts here. I'm not emotional about it.
I don't care what sport you're in, Glenn. Losing 3 out of 4 home games is not normal.
Alex, I'm looking at every series.
Alex, what happened with Calgary?
Again, it's just because you name a couple situations. All right, so if the Bruins, so you're telling me
Winnipeg
3 out of 4 games is normal.
No, what he's saying
is in the NHL.
What
today,
he's saying is that right now, basically out in the West, every favorite could lose, including the two best teams.
Listen, that in itself, I will concede that, and that's what makes hockey great. In that,
I know, but I understand what you're saying, but you're saying it in a year where Tampa Bay has already lost, Calgary's been bounced, Winnipeg's been bounced, and Nashville might get bounced as well. So you're saying it never happens, and we could very well see it 5-6 times in the first round.
Yes, and that goes to my argument, is that now, right now, because the Bruins are a much older team than those other teams, now's their time to act. They need to win this game because their future is not.
Well, that's a different story. I'm not emotional, but I'm just giving you facts here that, and I don't think this is a good thing for the NHL. We could talk about that, but the teams that prevail during the regular season earn themselves home ice advantage in the playoffs, and in the first round, the upper seeds are getting blown out by the lower seeds. That's not a good thing, but it tells me, Alex, that home ice advantage means very little. In the NHL, it means everything in the NBA. The NBA is just the opposite.
That's what makes hockey much better than the other sports like the NBA. Where
anybody can beat anybody, but here's the problem.
I don't know about this year.
It tells you the regular season is a waste of time. So you played 82 games to do what? To lose four straight in the first round?
When he says, you know, this is what makes the NHL great. Okay, so you're a diehard hockey fan. You know, you got your team, whatever it is. You might be a Bruins fan or whatever it might be. You just love good hockey. You want to see all the best teams bounced in the first round? That's good for business?
I think it's bad
for the hockey fan?
I think it's bad.
I mean, seriously, like, you're a diehard hockey fan. I think you want to see the stars. I think you want to see the best teams. I think if you're out west, you want to see Tampa in the Stanley Cup because they're a great team. You want to see, you know, whether it's Calgary, Winnipeg, Nashville, you want to see these teams go deep in the postseason. Do you know what? That's not good for hockey. Any other sport would be disaster, just like it would be in hockey.
No, even though Pittsburgh was the lower seed over the Islanders, you thought Pittsburgh was going to win because of exactly what Alex was just saying. Those are the veteran superstars on the Penguins, right? You didn't get them. So I think this is bad for the sport. Matter of fact, did you see the NBA TV ratings in the first round? And these games have not been real good because the upper seeds have destroyed the lower seeds. But the ratings are down 26%. I wonder why. No LeBron James. You lost Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about the Clippers out there. You lost the market, and you lost the people that either hate or have great respect and love watching LeBron James play. And the same thing exists with the NHL. Columbus, who cares about Columbus? Who really cares about Columbus?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, just a random Bruins, a hockey fan. You want to see Tampa, Boston in the next round?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you want to see
we're not getting it.
Tampa. I mean, and can you imagine if Golden State got bounced?
It's very similar.
Or, you know, Milwaukee, Toronto gets bounced, Houston gets bounced.
In the first round.
In the first round? Like, listen, you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, okay, and you got two good teams. Whoever wins, wins, okay? And we'll sit there and talk about markets. You know, but at this point, this stage of the playoffs, we're not talking about markets. We're just talking about interest. We're talking about the good teams that you want to see play. And I don't think it's good for the league. It's not good for any league to have your best teams get bounced early in the playoffs.
It got worse this weekend, Lou, with the hockey nuts out there. And a lot of the media people were proposing changes to the playoff system where they wanted to expand the playoffs. And we were going to have 10 teams in each conference, and now we were going to have a mini play-in series, like a 2-out-of-3 series, with the 7 playing the 10, the 8 playing the 9. I saw all sorts of stuff out there. I'm sitting there going, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So you just, then why play the regular season? Just open it up. Have every team play in the regular season and every team play in the postseason.
I was just looking at this here. I don't know where this tweet came from. We got sportsreference.com. So home field, home ice, home court, whatever. What's it worth in the postseason? Basically, these numbers will tell you that with baseball and hockey, it doesn't even matter. As a matter of fact, it's negative 0.3 for the NHL as far as differential. So in other words, during the regular season, home teams win 55.1% of the games in the regular season. In the postseason, 55.3.
Dead even, yeah.
Same thing with baseball. With football and the NBA, it's up only 4%, which I'm actually surprised. The win percentage in the NBA is only 64.5. And I bet you see a lot of that, I guess, maybe as later on as it goes. But I'm surprised it's only that high. So in hockey and baseball, it really doesn't make a difference, which we can just see with our own eyes. But in baseball and basketball and football, there is a difference.
And the amazing thing is, other than football, they're best of 7 series now. So you would figure the best team, it would correct itself when you go through a seven-game series. With the NFL, it's a one-game elimination tournament. Mm-hmm. So that one almost makes a little bit of sense. Jeff is in Miami. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great, Jeff.
What's up?
Hey, I've spoke to you a few times, Glenn, and in Lou, and agreed all of us have been frustrated with the play of the Celtics throughout the season. But I think, you know, sometimes we fall victim of the moment, and sometimes we fall victim of what we've seen. And I don't think we're realizing or giving them enough credit now for where they are right now. We're discounting how bad Indiana was and is. And I don't think it's easy to look good against Indiana. And, Glenn, in that first game, they were up 22 with 5 minutes left in the game until they put in Wanamaker in the sub.
Is it raining outside?
They did blow them
up. Yeah, unfortunately, Jeff, the phone line is terrible, and we got to let you go. I was extremely positive. I hear all this. Why are you being so negative about the Celtics? I think before the season began, I made the prediction that they were going to win more games than any team in the NBA because they were stacked and loaded with talent. Does anybody believe that they've played up to that level? They played 10 games or 11 games worse than Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference. And to me, that's disappointing. I can't take the series against the Pacers, and I give them credit. I'll give them a standing ovation that they did what they were supposed to do. But I can't look at the series and suddenly say, they're cured, they're solved. Because they won four games and the other team won none.
We still don't know.
I don't know.
We don't either. I mean, that caller in the wind and rainstorm, wherever he was calling from, even said it. You know, give him credit for winning four. Okay, we do. They swept them. Okay, good for them. But what do we know because of the quality of opponent they played?
Nothing.
What do we know more about this team? I don't think we do. I don't think we know much more than kind of the unknown coming into the postseason. They're not going to be able to prove anything to anybody. I'm sure some have already satisfied, until they play the Bucks and we find out how this series goes. Listen, if they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, God bless them. I will stand here and I'll say, you know what? I was wrong about this team. They're not a bunch of frauds. They finally figured this thing out. It clicked. And now, you know what? If you beat the Bucks, you go on. Maybe it's Toronto. Who knows? All right. Now we're sitting there saying, we've got to. Okay. And you go to the NBA Finals. Maybe the end game will be exactly what we thought from the very beginning. But I'm not confident in that. And sure as hell, by watching them beat Indiana, I don't. I'm not sitting there saying, see, there it is.
Yeah, I don't know how
they
anybody
can beat the Bucks.
I don't know how anybody
I don't know
is.
How you can do that.
I would say this. I think it's a long series. 6-7 game series. I'll go with 7. How's that? They lose in 7 because they don't get to play that game 7 at home. And I think they can give, and they should give, Milwaukee a good series. On the other hand, if they don't, you're going to be really surprised at that. And even if they beat Milwaukee, they still have to beat Toronto now. With Toronto holding home court, and we know how poor they've been up there playing in Toronto. Then they have to go and face Golden State. Good luck to all of that. There's a long way to go, and they put themselves in this hole during the regular season. All right, back to the phone calls. Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, all on the docket here at 617-779-7937.
You sound like you're very emotional about this right now. And
now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
The four worst words in Toronto sports. Game 7 in Boston.
Yep.
That's, what else is there?
I was really trying to think of.
All those ALCS losses to the Red Sox that the Jays have suffered over the years.
Not excited about a Game 7? Game 7
nope.
Is fantastic.
I'll watch.
I hope so, because we're going to talk about it on Wednesday.
Next morning, didn't see it.
See, they're scared up there in Toronto. I don't blame them. There's a bad history. It is very similar, because they're passionate up there. It is very similar to Red Sox fans pre-2004.
Yeah.
And they've seen it. They get there, they're on the doorstep, then something always happens.
I heard these guys before, Dale and Keith. I think they opened it up We're talking about pressure. Who's more pressure on? Bruins, Celtics. I mean, Bruins or Leafs?
Leafs.
And Keith's argument is that the Bruins are the better team. So, you know, when you look at the regular season, yeah, they're the better team. By a few points. I think maybe two or three wins. But there's, it's yeah, do you have these guys talking about it?
Going into the series, most people predicted the Bruins to win.
Yes,
so
oh, absolutely.
If you get to a game seven, I feel like the more pressure should be on that team and the team that's at home. And for whatever reason, with the exception of game two, they have not looked very good at home. The home games that they have played, 1-5, really head-scratching. Like, the crowd couldn't get into it because they didn't give them anything to get into.
Yeah, they didn't give a chance.
And I know they're going to be going out of their minds on tomorrow night, but at the same time, if it's another one of these slow starts, it may not matter.
But yeah. Here's...
I can't. I mean, it's not, like, to me, it's...
No, I totally disagree with Keith. He's totally wrong about this. The number of points, and they had seven more points during the regular season than Toronto, means nothing if you're looking at these other NHL playoffs.
Well, I would say this. 2004, the Yankees were the better team in a regular season. Who had more pressure on them to win?
Exactly.
And you know what I mean? So it's Boston. It's because of the history of Toronto. It's because of what that team means to that city. Can you imagine if Boston had two teams? One was the Patriots, and one was the Revolution. And that's it. There was no Celtics. There was no Bruins. There was no Red Sox. And I put the Revolution at the same level as Toronto Raptors. Okay? Because I think people follow Toronto. They support Toronto. But, they got two teams. It's really Toronto. It's really the Maple Leafs. It's hockey. It's everything. And you just talk about Canada, all their teams are getting bounced. And I know they don't like Toronto anyways, but damn, it's their sport.
But the way
there's just so much pressure on Toronto Maple Leafs to beat the Boston Bruins and to try to win a Stanley Cup. And they have failed miserably.
Yeah, the way it's happened, though, you know, before 2004, we're sitting there and what did we do? Go over, you know, Bucky bleeping Danton. We were looking at those moments where you know, Red Sox team totally, you know, fell apart when the game was on the line. We did that with everything. Well, how about these guys? Going back to 2013, they had a 4-1 lead playing at the TD Garden. What was this, 6-7 minutes left in a hockey game? I can't even remember. Maybe less than that. And the Bruins end up winning that game. And then last year, it's a no-brainer.
So 1967 was the last year the Leafs won the Stanley Cup.
67.
It's hockey in Canada. It's their sport.
Yeah.
Or they claim it. That's or big. Whatever, right?
That's a long time.
And, I mean, this is you're talking about a team that, yeah, they had their down years, but especially probably, you know, like pre-three or four years ago, 10 years where it was just like, what the hell are they doing? But it's hockey. And you're telling me there's not enough pressure, not pressure on them to and beat they have, this? They haven't beat the Bruins in a playoff series since, what, 1959?
59. Yeah, and they have sucked for a long time. I mean, the Leafs have had some really bad teams in between. Listen, I think there's no comparison when you talk about the pressure. I mean, the Bruins won in 2011, all right? And they were in the finals in, what, 13 or whatever. So, and they lost in six games there to a better team. I think these two teams, Toronto and Boston, are just about even. They really are. Just about even.
The pressure's on the Bruins, I think.
I disagree. I think the Leafs are better than we thought they were, and I think there's all sorts of pressure on Toronto. Those people that hang out outside the building, what are they going? They're going to be out there in Game 7 on Sunday, you know, up in Toronto watching the game.
And that's one of the best shots going.
That's unbelievable,
especially when the Bruins win.
Yeah.
Because you just—I'll never forget that 2013 was the greatest thing you've ever seen. Right, up 4-1, and they're showing them. They're going nuts, and they give them a goal, and you just—I love that shot.
That just doesn't happen in the NHL. Up 4-1. I don't care where you're playing. You could be playing in Mars. It just doesn't happen that you blow that. But you're right, Lou. They feel the pressure, and you just heard it from Toronto radio. They are really feeling the pressure because, once again, it is Game 7, and it is Boston.
Yeah.
The devil. The worst thing.
The four worst words in Toronto sports. Game 7 in Boston.
That's great.
I love that. Matt's in Wilmington. Next up here on OMF without the big fella. What do you got, man? Good, man.
Hey, so with the NBA and the NHL playoffs, the strength of the league is what the question is. Whether it's good for the league or how good the league is a different argument. So bear with me. The playoffs are basically, the regular season is basically a filter, right? The playoffs you weed out all the terrible teams, and then you get all the really good teams, and you put them in a tournament at the end of the season, both leagues, right?
Yeah.
So doesn't it show that every year that the 16 teams that go in from the NHL, they're all really good teams, and they all are able to beat each other, whereas in the NBA, the 16 teams that go in, half of them don't belong in the postseason.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So that's the whole point of playoffs. They should turn the NBA into a tournament and just have the best teams there, because why even wasting your time? Or drop the number of teams in the playoffs down in the NBA, because it's just a waste of time, the exercise of the 8, 7, and 6
fighting
to get in.
Yeah, but you're turning it around and you're turning it against the NBA. The NBA has to put 16 teams in, Matt, because they need the revenue. They need the TV revenue. They want teams to feel that they get to put people in their building in the month of April. Okay, because normally they, or after the second week of April, because normally they wouldn't be able to do it. So it's a marketing thing. What we're saying about the NHL that is crazy is you're talking about Tampa Bay had 30 more points than Carolina.
Well, Tampa Bay is the crazy
Columbus,
one.
30 more than Columbus.
Yeah, Tampa's the crazy one,
and that's
right?
Off
I'm
the
just saying,
charts.
If you just take Tampa out of the equation and you say the Bruins at Calgary had the most points, you know, and so I think Calgary's the other shocker with Colorado, but, you know.
But it's not a fluke. Because if you're looking at the rest of it now, the rest of the NHL, the lower seeds are all winning.
No, I know.
So,
but to his point, like, there is no Indiana. You know what I mean? There is no like 1-8 seed. In the NBA, you could probably take the 7th and 8th seed and get them out of the tournament. And, you know, have 3 through 6 play each other.
Right.
And then the 2 winners play the 1 and the 2 seed. You could do like the NFL.
Right. 6, 7, and 8 are not going to win anything in the NBA.
But the
you're
NHL,
right,
an 8 seed is still a pretty good team, usually.
And I get what you're saying. It doesn't help the league in terms of financially, fiscally, and the interest and TV ratings to have the stars go out. Like if Crosby, Ovechkin, Stamkos, and all these big name guys go out, but that's a different argument for you know the financial aspect of it. But when it comes to the strength of the league, I mean that's why for me the NBA during the regular season is unwatchable. I think a team that is that good, like look at the Celtics. The Celtics were a shambles most of the year. You didn't know what they were going to get. They could have finished in 5th, 6th, 2nd. Their team is that much better than those teams that scrap to get in. They can win on just the strength of their team alone.
This is where I totally disagree with you. I think that the NBA season, and unfortunately the Candyman got this totally wrong when he was talking about it the other night. I think the NBA regular season is far more important to your fortunes in the postseason than the NHL regular season. The NHL regular season means very little when an 8th seed, okay, the last team in, the second wild card team, can go and sweep a team that had 30 more points than them during the regular season. That makes zero sense. That's unbelievable. That would never, ever come close to happening in the NBA. But in the NBA, you may look at the end of this season and say, the Celtics are starting to play good basketball right now. Here's the problem. They still are going to play on the road for the next 3 series if they want to win a championship. And I'm telling you, in the end, that is still their death knell. And so it means something to have a high seed during the regular season in the NBA. We've already seen it. It means absolutely nothing in the NHL. Columbus, I think, didn't they qualify in the last day of the regular season?
Our boy Matt Kelman disagrees with us on everything at this point.
By the way, Kelman is good.
He's our hockey
insider.
He is
really good at this
stuff.
He
says upsets are what makes Stanley Cup playoffs great and must watch. Mm. New stars emerge. Mm. Underrated stars get the spotlight. Mm. The ultimate team, not relying on just having 1 or 2 stars for competitive rounds. So I don't see it because I look at every other sport and, you know, did people not want to see the Chiefs in the AFC title game? Would you rather see them lose to Indianapolis?
No.
Because they got a great, you know, young quarterback and Andrew Luck making a comeback.
No.
What did you want to see the Chiefs? Now, they had a great young quarterback, too, but they are the best team, right?
Right.
And the Patriots might have a different argument because people are just tired of them. So maybe you don't want to see the Patriots, but you wanted, didn't you want the Rams and Saints? And isn't that what you want as a fan? To see the best teams, the best players?
No. See if Kelman feels the same way if the Bruins get beat tomorrow night. See if he seems to. But he brings up this. The Bruins have more pressure because the older core of the team, the window is closing, the Leafs still have a bright future. That part of it, I get and I understand. They're running out of time here. These guys have got to win. How long can you keep, you know,
Char
and Bergeron? Well, they've got some
As a Bruins fan, Matt Kalman says they have to win because you're a Bruins fan, right? Do they have to? Last I checked, this Coors won a Stanley Cup. 67 is the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs have. So do they really have to? That's like saying the Red Sox, hey, you know, JD might leave. I mean, Mookie might leave. They got a window. They have to win this year. Really? They just won last year. They have to?
It's a great example.
Yankees got a great young core. What, you don't? What, they? Is it more important for them because they're young? No.
That's a great example. Suppose the Red Sox, the 1967 Red Sox, was what churned the whole team around, right? That was when people started to say they had some respect because it was basically a last-place team.
Mm-hmm.
They were awful. So suppose they had won in 1967, and the Red Sox had never won till today. That's pretty much what Toronto is. That's their position right now. Imagine that, how people would feel about the Red Sox.
Utah's
right now
got great young stars. Do you need them in the finals or Golden State?
I need Golden State.
Why, though?
Because I want to see the better talent. I think you're already seeing it. And Matt's missing this point. The TV ratings on the first round of the playoffs for the NBA are down 26%. Why? You were able to eliminate LeBron James. Well, the ratings are down 26% because you eliminated one of the great stars of the game.
Speaking of ratings, I don't understand the weekend ratings.
I do.
I don't. So Friday, the Celtics apparently had an 8.8 versus the Bruins 8.5. That was game 5, tied 2-2 in Boston. Meanwhile, the Celtics are up 2-0 in Indiana, and they beat the Bruins, and then they come back, and they beat them bad on Easter Sunday. Now, maybe it's because they had an early start. I don't know, but they get a 9-4-6. They basically did a 9-5, the Celtics, to the Bruins 8.
Right. So two things. I would like to see what it peaked at.
Game performance as far as importance of the game?
No.
Not even close.
No, the Celtics starting time was a better starting time. So the Celtics had an 8:30 starting time. Now, that's bad nationally because you might lose some of the West Coast early on. But we're talking about Boston ratings now. An 8:30 Friday night, no work the next day. That's the perfect time. People are still driving home on a Friday night at 7 o'clock, and that's when they drop the puck for that game. So I'd like to see what they peaked at. And my guess is the Bruins might have peaked at a higher number than the Celtics did. But I also think there's a little run here of where people are looking at the Celtics now, and they are far more optimistic. You and I are still two of the holdouts here, sitting there going, you still got to show me.
Yeah, I think Sunday, the simple answer on Sunday is commute. I don't know about you, but if you go somewhere for an Easter dinner, an Easter lunch, or whatever it might be at 1 o'clock, maybe you settle in and watch the game there at 1. 3:20, I think you're in your car trying to get home for a lot of people. No?
Maybe. That's a possibility. The Sunday one, I think, is a little bit more harder to determine because I don't know when people travel.
I think commute has something to do with that. But game six,
but Friday
Bruins,
night,
if they lose, they're eliminated. You did an 8-3 in Indiana? 9-5?
Yeah, but Friday night, we know the commuting habits. I'm not sure what they are for each individual family.
I think Easter Sunday commute has something to do with Sunday.
Well, I also think, too, that you're looking at better network coverage. Now, you watch this week, the NFL draft is not only going to be on ESPN, and it's going to be on the NFL Network, it's also going to be on ABC. All of it. All 3 days.
Game 1 for the Bruins, right, if they win?
Yes, that'll be game 1 of the Bruins, probably.
Bruins will still beat them locally.
Huh?
Bruins will beat them locally.
Game 1?
Versus the draft?
Absolutely.
Okay,
we'll see. Draft's going to do much better than
there'll
you
be
think.
A huge spike.
The draft's going to hit three
I'm just
different
saying there'll
networks.
Be a huge spike at whatever time. I mean, what time did the Celtics pick?
Late.
Yeah, they're going to. The game will be over.
Patriots will be picked.
That's what I meant. The Patriots will pick. The Bruins games will be over, won't it? I don't know the start time.
We don't know the start time. All right, 617-779-7937. Right back to the phone calls. Bruins, Celtics, and Red Sox, all three teams in the news today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.